It's a whole lot of preaching I've had to do here in the last little while here. You're welcome. Oh, wait. No. I appreciate that Pastor Chad even trusts me up here. Maybe he doesn't. It's just by faith. It's by faith. But no, it's been an honor to serve in this capacity. And like I said, I just thank God for that that privilege. But just kind of reiterating what I kind of talked about just a few minutes ago, that we're going to be talking about our location, our position, however you want to say it, where we're at as a new creature in Christ Jesus today. First, I want to just say, illustrate this. I remember in the 70s, yes, I grew up in the 70s, man. Watch it. But remember shortly, my brothers and sisters in the 70s are going to love this one. Did you guys love Smokey and the Bandit, right? I don't think I would have allowed my kids to see it. Now, looking back, I was about 7 or 8. But anyways, so Smokey and the Bandit, we were all about CB radios. My friend's dad was a truck driver. So my buddies knew all the lingo. We'd get on there. They had this camper trailer. I really hope I don't get sidetracked too much. But we get in this camper trailer and get on the CB and just start mixing it up with these truckers and stuff and making up all this stuff. It was crazy. I'm like, surely, I was thinking about this last night. I thought, surely they had to know these were punk kids doing this. But we had them going for a while on some crazy elaborate stories, log hauling trucks, losing all of its log, just crazy stuff. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. But for whatever reason, the one thing stuck in my head, my buddies, you got to ask them where they're at. So you got to say, what's your 20? What's your 20? So in CB talk, it's actually 10:20, I think, technically. But what's your 20 is what's your location? So that's the first thing we started out. Breaker 19 for radio check. Come back. What's your 20? And then we just go on from there, and he would tell me what to say if I was talking and all this stuff. So it was a lot of fun. And but that's just part of my little fun childhood experience. But what's your 20? To this day, when I'm texting my wife, I have no idea where she's at. I text, what's your 20? Does anybody else do that? Anybody? What's your 20? I don't know. It's a thing. I don't know. But believe it, yeah. And then I thought, I got to confirm that this is correct. So I'm not saying something inappropriate, you know. That what's your 20 doesn't mean something different nowadays. But I don't think it does. But it was interesting to go through. Wikipedia had every single slang thing in CB talk you could look at, and it was pretty funny. So anyways, a little useless knowledge for you there. But so that was about location. What's your 20? What's your location? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. In life, I need to remind myself, we need to remind ourselves where we're at. Where are we? Sometimes the question when you're younger is, what for me and maybe everybody is, who am I? You know, why am I here? Who am I? But now that I, in my new life in Christ, it's like a constant reminder, where am I? Where am I positioned? Where is my location? You need to remember this, mister, because I forget a lot. And too often in my life, I feel kind of trapped in my failings, in my shortcomings, and I start identifying with maybe how I'm behaving, and maybe you deal with the same things. Maybe it's just me, and I don't need to talk to you guys. But too often, I identify with, a lot of times, what I can't do. Like this past week, I had a challenge. I worked at a machine shop and whatnot. We have some automation coming in my area, robot stuff. And anyway, so these guys were coming in, and they were supposed to, for 2 days, just train us and stuff. And our main engineer guy, who is kind of like my training wheels, he's my blankie when people come in and make me nervous. Like, because I know he's going to basically take the helm and steer the ship, and then he'll just tell me later what just happened in a much more easy to understand way. Well, they come in the morning, these guys are coming in, supposed to train us and kind of show us the ropes and stuff. And he's like, okay, I got some meetings. Are you going to be available? Can you take over? I'm like, I almost have a mental breakdown. And I'm like, you know what? No, I said, I walk away. I'm like, yeah, I got this. And I'm sweating bullets. My stomach's twisting inside. I'm just like, oh my God. But I stop and say, you know what? In the face of my feelings and my anxiety right now, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's what I had to go. That's the only thing I can think to say. It's the only thing I can think to hold on to. And, you know, long story short, maybe not too long, but it's over and done with. We're good. It wasn't as bad as I thought. So, and they were good guys. But that's what I, in that moment, I started identifying with what I couldn't do. Or I'm not educated enough to understand what these people are trying to say to me. Or I don't have what it takes to take this baton, so to speak, and run with it. And I said, wait a minute. You're in Christ. You have the mind of Christ in your spirit. All he said is ask for wisdom if you're lacking. So I had to continue, just in the face of this feeling and anxiety, I had to reach out and remind myself who I was. So that's I got a little off on that, but we will never rise higher than what we believe. I heard that quote somewhere. I have no idea where I heard it, but it's so true. We will never rise higher than how we believe. And in that moment, just that little simple little illustration, I wouldn't have risen any higher than I was mentally, kind of almost crippled, so to speak, if I didn't just stop and remember, wait a minute, who am I? Whose am I? Where am I? What's my location? I'm in Christ. I have the mind of Christ in my spirit. The wisdom of God is available to me. And I started praying in my, you know, prayer language and tongues to myself in between listening to these people and stuff. But just, I had to stop and remind myself who I am. Where am I at right now? So today we're going to look at that. Our true location as children of God. And this is just like I've reiterated it, said it. Martin Luther, I need to hear the gospel every day because every day I forget the gospel. And I think this goes right along with that. We forget where we are, our location in Christ Jesus. And too often we are looking at our own ability, if you will, or lack thereof. And it's easy to forget, wait a minute, I am not in and of myself. I am in Christ. I'm seated in high and heavenly places in Christ. Believe it or not, I've done a couple versions of this message, and I've cut it in half. So don't blame me if it goes long. So first of all, we're going to read a very foundational scripture, Romans 12:2. We all know this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And this action must be taken. This renewing of our mind must be taken if we are going to live a victorious life in Christ. We have to change the way we think. Okay? I don't think I have to reiterate that too many more times, but it's going to happen yet again. But it's so, so important. Just that opening quote, you'll never rise above your that way, the way you believe. You'll never rise higher than that. Colossians 3:3 says, for as far as this world is concerned, as far as this world is concerned, you have died and your new life, your new real life, is hidden with Christ in God. So this new life that we are born into, and we were born again, children of God. And if you are in the sound of my voice, if you are not, if you have not seen your need for salvation, if you have not seen your need for a Savior, you can call out to that Savior who is ready to give you new life in an instant. Just say simply, take my life and do something with it if you have nothing else to say. Because without God, there is no life. And there is only new life in Christ. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son, Jesus Christ. That must have been for somebody, because I had no plan on saying any of that. But somebody, you're looking for a Savior, and Jesus is your Savior. And we will be looking at in Christ realities in a few minutes here, for the next few minutes. I have a little mini book that kind of inspired this message years ago by a pretty, let's say, famous minister who went home to be with the Lord in 03 or 08. I get mixed up, but he had a whole book on in Christ realities. And just reading through that book multiple times, it's so foundational to remember and to realize who we are, because we are not who we were before Christ, before we reached out and received the embrace of Jesus from the cross. We are not who we were. It is completely different. And we need to understand it. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people get that conversion experience without the realization and the discipling and the knowledge and the understanding of who they are now. You're not the same person. And the spirit man is the real us. And we need to learn who he is, where he is, and how he is meant to function. So we must see ourselves the way God sees us. And we always know that God sees us in Christ. He never sees us outside of Christ. Let's get right into this. 2 Corinthians 5:17, there's a lot of scripture. So like I said last week, listen fast. And we'll get through this, all right? So 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the Amplified says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. This is not, I'm stealing something from Chris Valentin from yesterday. He said this word new is not new as in I got a new car. This is like new as in a prototype. This has never existed before. And many people have said this, reciting the scripture, is that new creation that we are is a new species of being that never existed before. You are one of a kind. We are all in Christ, but you are one of a kind. You are the prototype for you. And nobody can be you. God, you're here for some reason, in this time, in this place. You didn't have anything to do with your choosing when to be born, where to be born, but I bet God did. So he's got books written about you, it says in Psalms. So we have exchanged a sin nature, which was producing death before our life in Christ, constantly producing death, and for a life-giving nature in Christ. So that was part of the big exchange, is our old nature died, that old sin nature died. It's cut off. We don't have that battle going on. It's cut off, and a new man has been reborn. You are all raised from the dead, raised with Christ in newness of life. So Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. Do you feel like a masterpiece? When you looked in the mirror this morning, you said, now that's a masterpiece. All right. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So we are not mere humans. I think C.S. Lewis said, you have never met a mere mortal. Do you realize anybody born, whether people are believers in Christ or not, nobody on this planet, walking this planet, is a mere mortal. We are going to live for eternity somewhere. Do you realize that? That's when I heard that statement, that was like, I put it on the desktop of my computer. It worked. It was cool. It was cool. The cool factor. But no, we are not mere humans. We are supernatural beings who are to operate on this earth the way Jesus did. Can you believe that? We are to operate on this earth the way he did. You know why? He was our example. He was our model. He taught us how we are to operate. We are his representatives, his ambassadors, right? The best ones to represent him are us, are you. Okay? So with his super on our natural, we can get this done, right? I believe we can get this done. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. One of my favorite scriptures should be one of your favorite scriptures. But you realize, no matter how you feel, and I have a whole other message, even testimony about this, but no matter how you feel, you are never out of right standing with God because of Jesus. Even if you've done the stupidest thing you've ever done in your life, God still accepts you, believes in you, loves you unconditionally, and you are still in right standing with him. And he says, come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace in time of need, which I can't think of a single time I don't need either one of those. But so whether you're feeling like a rugrat or whatever, run to daddy, jump on his lap, you guys will get it together. So, and knowing this just affirms that scripture that says the righteous are bold as a lion. When you realize your right standing with God never changes, there is a sense of boldness that arises within you, because the greater one is in you, and that's where that boldness, that source of boldness, is coming from. I mean, just look at Peter. Peter's a great illustration of this. You know, one guy that, you know, you got two of these guys. Judas denied Jesus, betrayed Jesus once. Peter denied him three times. One hung himself. One repented. And look at the boldness, even coming out of that horrible little moment, denying Jesus three times, the boldness that Peter was anointed with on that day of Pentecost and preached that gospel. But that's an amazing, that's what God can do. That's just, it's a beautiful picture. I just heard, I'm stealing some more from Chris Vallotton. I'm just telling you right now, I don't know the name of it dropped on Wednesday, this podcast. You got to check it out. Making Disciples, I think it's called. Making Disciples, Chris Vallotton. Check it out. I want to say best message I've ever heard in my life, but next week I'll hear another one and I'll say the same thing. But I'm telling you right now, wow. I'm just throwing this out. He's not paying me to say this, by the way. We went through a series here, read a book, Chris Vallotton, so I'm just saying this because you're all kind of familiar. So Making Disciples, great, great message. All right, back to our show. Romans 8:1. Sorry. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. That word condemnation, we've heard it said, is unfit for use. We are not ever, ever, ever in Christ. We are never unfit for use. We are never unfit for use. God is always wanting to use us, wanting to work through us, wanting to bless through us. We are never unfit for use. And I allowed condemnation to rule my mind through various voices, the enemy, myself, people, for a long, 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 long time. And then one day I awoke to this truth of righteousness, the right standing with God in Christ. And that bondage broke right then. And I got so mad that I was deceived for so long. But when you're deceived, you don't know what you don't know sometimes. So we are qualified because, it sounds so cliche, but we're qualified because why? Because he qualified us, right? And he what? He equips those he calls. He calls those he calls, he equips for that call, right? So it's not about you jumping through hoops. It's not about you earning your keep. It's about just receiving the victory that was won, the accomplished work at the cross by Christ Jesus. And again, we are learning about, we are in him. In him. And I started thinking about who him was, and I don't have this happen too often, but in the shower this morning, the scripture dropped in my head, and I'm like, oh, I gotta go. So I had to go and modify my message and remove and add and edit, and I'm coming here and just stuff's dropping in. So yeah. So it's almost like, yeah, I didn't get to run through it too good. So, but this is what it's all about, our in Christ realities. And I started thinking about in Christ, going back to that. Who is Christ? He is the great physician. We are in the great physician. Christ is our good shepherd. We lack no good thing. We are in the good shepherd. He is our provision, our provider. We are in the provision that we need. No wonder we lack no good thing, because we are in him. And I just started rolling with those thoughts in my head. And you get kind of excited when you go down that road. All right, let's continue on. You're going to have to listen a little faster than you are, I think. All right. Excuse me. So Acts 17:28, the New Living Translation says, "For in him we live and move and exist." So it kind of sounds like he's supposed to be everything. Living, moving, and existing. I think that covers everything. So let's stop trying to do things in our own strength. Just that little testimony, if you will, about my week in that moment. I was so concerned about me being able to do something, me being able to comprehend something new, me being able to understand and apply something that I didn't know yet. But, you know, a lot of that focus was on me and my ability, and oh my gosh, I'm not educated enough. I don't know this stuff. I don't have the workings in my head, but God is able. in that moment, his grace was sufficient. His supernatural enablement was on me to keep walking. Even though each step was maybe a little fearful, I just kept stepping. And he was faithful, and he had my back, and we got through it. At least I got through it. I don't know about you. I got through it. So Philippians 4:13 in the Amplified says, I have strength for all things. Seems to cover a lot. All things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me, and I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Man, I should have had somebody reading this to me the whole time in that little point in that week. But we are empowered for anything that we are called to do in that inner strength that comes only from him. And so whatever we're doing, whatever we need, we need to be aware that we are not alone in it. And you can get feeling alone. You can get feeling like I felt alone in that moment when my friend, who's the engineer who went to Kettering, who went through all the stuff and he's got the wiring for this, and he left. I felt alone. And then the Holy Spirit said, you're not alone. I'm right here. I know more than this guy. Okay, I'm good. So supernatural power is available to us at any moment. I love how Keith Moore says it. The one who knows everything about everything indwells you. That doesn't seem to leave out anything. So I'm good with that. It's just, again, we need to remind ourselves this, don't we? Because I'm not looking at a room full of people that know this 24/7, right? You guys, okay. I want to make sure I'm not alone in this, because I thought, man, I got to sign up for a therapy session or something somewhere else. But the Holy Spirit, one of his jobs is to remind us who we are, to lead us into all truth. This is one of the most profound truths, our position, our location in Christ, right? Okay, Galatians 2:20 in the Amplified, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and in him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ the Messiah lives in me. And the life I now live, I live in the body. I live by faith in, by adherence to and reliance on and complete trust in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And that's what this whole thing is about, this is just a picture of, this takes faith to believe this, your total reliance and your total trust. And that's what we're called to do, is we're called to walk by faith, what, not by sight, right? And Hebrews 10:38 tells us that the just, those who have been justified by his blood, those who are in right standing with him, they shall live by this faith. And that's good news. That's good news. And he has given us the ability to walk in this, in Christ, reality. You believe that. And it's fun to believe it in the face of fear. It's fun to believe it in the face of anxiety and worry and doubt. Because what he said, to cast all of our care on him, that means all of our worry, all of our anxiety, all of our fear. What, fill in the blanks and get a thesaurus out to connect all the same words, similar words. But in the face of all that is really the funnest time. In the face of your feelings that don't seem to align with who you really are, to stop, just like I shared a week or two ago, a moment of feeling really crummy, and in the face of that, choosing to praise, in the face of that, choosing to worship God, choosing to do the opposite of how I felt, and then to experience my feelings getting into alignment with what I was declaring and what I was saying. And I'm no different. God has called us to do that. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the redeemed say so. I don't care how I feel. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Don't get me singing. All right. So, and that's the exciting thing, is we are called to walk by faith in these, in Christ realities. And if I could have Alicia and the worship team come up, I'm going to read a couple verses, a few verses out of the end of end portion of Colossians 1. It's probably my favorite chapter in the Bible, but we're going to look at a beautiful picture of this Jesus, of this Christ we are in Colossians 1. Colossians 1, 15 through 17. It tells us that he is the divine portrait, the true likeness of the invisible God. And just to reiterate things Pastor Chad says, if your God doesn't look like Jesus, you got the wrong God. Jesus is the express image of God. He is the picture of the Father. And let's continue on. And he is the firstborn heir of all creation. For through the Son, everything was created, both in heaven, in the heavenly realm, and on the earth. All that is seen and all that is unseen. Every seat of power, realm of government, principality, and authority. It was all created through him and for his purpose. He existed before anything was made, and now everything finds completion in him. And that includes you. You are complete in him. You may not feel complete, you may not look complete, but you are complete. The word says you are complete in Christ. And we are working out that. That is manifesting as we, by faith, walk this out, this grabbing hold of these in Christ realities and declaring them over ourselves. We will see that the more we will see that more and more, our completeness in him. And let's continue on with the next couple of verses. Verse 18 in Colossians 1 says, he is the head of his body, which is the church. Obviously, that is us. And since he is the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection, he is the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. For God is satisfied to have all his fullness dwelling in Christ. Who else is in Christ? You are in Christ, along with all the fullness of God. Oh my gosh. And by the blood of his cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. And some translations say set back in harmony. All of the fullness of the Godhead indwells you, because you are in Christ and Christ is in you. I believe that I could meditate on that for the rest of my life, and that would be just fine. Do you realize the depths of that truth? The Godhead. That's why we can laugh in the face of lack, in the face of condemnation. Do you think there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ? And I used to think that God was condemning me. Why in the world would I think the one who came to live inside of me, why would I think he's condemning me? That means unfit for use. He saw me so fit that he came to live inside of me. And he doesn't plan on moving out. And I'm not going to evict him. What a crazy, evil, twisted thought. And if you have been in bondage through thoughts of condemnation and unfit for use kind of thinking, think again. God has decided to move inside of your spirit, indwell your spirit, sealed by the Holy Spirit we are. Eternally, his body, His manifested glory. He desires to manifest His glory through us, people. Man, this is good news. This in Christ reality is so good. And we so have to remind ourselves on a daily basis of what this is all about. And it's all about location. The way we think is so powerful that we cannot act against it. Do you know that? So change your thinking, as Romans 12:2 tells us. Your actions will not come against the way you think. That's where it starts. Change your thinking. Your actions will follow. I mean, you know, I don't know if who coined this term. Right believing produces right actions, right? I want to give it to Joseph Prince, but I'm not sure. I don't know. But I'm thinking it was the Lord. But let's see ourselves the way God sees us. In Christ, in Him, we live and move and have our very existence. So anything you do, anything you face, you are not facing it alone. You are not doing it alone. You are not to do it in your own strength or lack thereof. But it's in His ability, and in Him you are to carry out what you have been called to do. In our spheres of influence, as we hear, we are to take the kingdom that's His kingdom that we are in and that's in us out there. Okay? Wow, I'm revved up. So I pray that the Holy Spirit would just continue to remind you of who you are in Christ this week, coming weeks, in your journey in Christ. He's so good. And if we can just get a little taste of how big He is in us, we would fear nothing. Now I can see why He expects us to fear not. I see David standing before that giant. He knew who he was. And our covenant is much greater. A new and better covenant in Christ. So let's worship this Jesus, this Christ, who we are all in and who is in us. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and destined to reign in Christ Jesus.